CEO Business Mind, the radio show for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals. Whether you own or run a business or would like to start one, this is the place for all the answers. Now, here's your host, Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito with CEO Business Mind. Welcome to my show today. If you want to get to me, it's really easy. Just go to CEObusinessMind.com, look for the box that says subscribe, type in your email address, follow the confirmation instructions, and if you do that, you can take a look at my postings going back several years. You can see some of the businesses that we're in. You can even check out some of the job openings that we might have in the United States. We're currently looking for a director of business development. Can be anywhere in the continental United States except California, New York, or New Jersey. Those are all no-go zones for employment practice purposes. But anywhere else in the continental United States would be fine. Good base salary, commission, benefits, the whole deal. So if you have experience, particularly in relocation or in household goods or maybe in mortgage or real estate, shoot me a resume and who knows, maybe you'll be working for me very shortly thereafter. If you are interested in my political rantings, and that's exactly what they are, especially during election season, just go to nationalfreedomforum.com, look for the box that says subscribe. Same process, type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions, and if you do that, you'll get my political blog postings, usually every day. If you're interested in our newest business, Paragon Home Resources, just go to paragonhomeresources.com, look for the click that says blog, you can sign up there, and if you do that, you can take a look at my home-related blog postings. If you need to move anywhere in the United States, we can help you sell a home. We can help you buy a home. We provide cash back rewards so you can actually make some money if you work through us. We can ship your household goods at a discount. We can get you a mortgage. We can do estate sales. We basically do everything as it relates to moving someone. If you happen to have a loved one who needs to move into a senior community, we do senior placements, so we can help you sort through all the issues, again, anywhere in the country, to choose a senior community for your loved one. If you've missed any of my shows and you just can't live without, you know, my pearls of wisdom, you can go to talkzone.com and all of my podcasts are hung there and you can catch up. Okay, we always start the show with seeing the train coming. And right now, the train is something I'm going to call shortages. You know, when I was very young, I was 24 years old. I was a school teacher. I went to the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union. It was communist at the time. And, you know, I had taken Russian studies in university as I got my degree in history and political science. And I wanted to see for myself what communism looked like. So I went to the Soviet Union on a tour. And we went to, at the time, the great cities of Russia. And coincidentally, two of them were Kiev and Odessa, which are in the Ukraine. The other, of course, was the capital, Moscow. And then the fourth was what is today called St. Petersburg, which, by the way, is a beautiful, beautiful city. Anyway, what I saw when I went to the Soviet Union when I was 24 years old, and this was more than 50 years after communism, was bread lines, food shortages. I had young people wanting to buy my jeans because they couldn't get access to jeans then. And I wouldn't sell them, but I gave them to these kids because I traded. I wanted to see the inside of a Russian apartment. And they took me to an apartment that was at most 500 square feet, three small tiny rooms, six people living there with everything falling apart. And this is what 50 years of communism brought to Russia, the old Soviet Union. So fast forward many years, and you know, I never thought I would see shortages in the United States until Jimmy Carter was the president of the United States, and we had the gas shortages. You know, we had to wait in line sometimes for hours, and my wife and I, we had an even license plate and an odd license plate. And in those days, we were driving long commutes in California. And God forbid we should go lower than a half a tank of gas because we never knew when and where we were going to buy gas. So we were constantly standing in long gas lines waiting to buy gas. We would trade license plates, you know, so that we could buy gas on the odd day or the even day whenever we needed it, because that was the rule. You could only buy gas on odd days or even days. So if it was the 20th as opposed to the 23rd, you know, your license plate determined when you could buy gas. The last number was either an odd number or an even number. So we lived through that nightmare. And of course, Ronald Reagan became president. And it's the first time I ever voted for a Republican and never looked back. Jimmy Carter was such a complete failure and just horrible, horrible president. Made a mess of our country, a mess of the world. He was terrible. But anyway, so here we are today. Here we are today. And so I have a grandson who is less than a year old, and he is still on formula. And guess what? We can't find formula for him. We can't. And so, you know, if we can buy it here in Reno where we live, we look for it, and we'll ship it to my son and daughter-in-law in Dallas. They're scouring all of Dallas to find formula. And fortunately, he only has another month or so, because by the time he's a year old in July, he can go off formula, and I guess he can go on regular baby foods, bottled baby foods, or they can mush up food for him and feed him solid foods, and I don't think he'll have to have formula anymore. But these poor folks that have babies, I mean infants, a month or two old or whatever, they've got, you know, 12 months of formula. And you can imagine the panic that is setting in. Well, you know, it's interesting. I know my mother never breastfed. So I was given something, you know, 72 years ago. I don't know what exactly, but I'm reading that, you know, people used to make their own formula, that they would take condensed milk. And by the way, folks, I'm not telling anybody to do this, but this recipe is on the internet. They would take evaporated milk and they would mix it with some amount of Karo syrup or sugar. And then they would dilute it with water, and that was what they fed kids as formula. I don't know if that's what my mother did when I was an infant, because I don't think they had formula when I was an infant. I know she didn't breastfeed because she told me she never breastfed. So I was fed something. Somebody else told me people just used to give their kids whole milk. Well, apparently you're not supposed to give children whole milk, and I'm not suggesting that anybody do anything that I'm talking about here, folks. Check with the doctor to make sure whatever you're concocting, if you have to concoct something to give your baby, that a doctor is saying it's okay. God forbid you give him the wrong thing and he ends up in the hospital. So anyhow, this is a crisis, and here's the deal, folks. The Biden administration knew about all of this 6 months ago. They knew it was coming 6 months ago. They closed down one of the big, I don't know whether it was Johnson & Johnson, one of them, that makes Similac. They closed it down, and apparently there was some contamination, and recalls took place, and that plant was closed down, I want to say, last February. And so in the meantime, it's been out of commission all this time. And apparently it's a major producer of Similac, and Similac is one of three of the formula brands that are the three most common brands, you know, used in our country. President Biden just authorized shipments from Germany of FDA-approved formula. It'll be a drop in the bucket. I mean, guys, you're looking at a distribution system in the United States with thousands of stores. So whatever they're shipping from Germany, it isn't going to make a heck of a lot of difference. The next thing we'll see are gasoline shortages. You just wait and see. We're going to see gas. It's already at nearly $6 a gallon in many places. In California, nearly $7 a gallon in many places. It'll go to $8 a gallon in many places. And Biden, who wants to destroy carbon energy, says this is all just part of our transition, folks, the pain that we're experiencing. Now, the good news for my employees after COVID is that everybody works from home. So we don't have just about, I got a few employees that still work out of a small office in California, but for the most part, all of my employees work from home. So they are not having to spend a lot of money on gasoline, at least to commute to work. Now, of course, they're spending a lot of money on everything else because, you know, we're starting to get near 10% inflation, which we haven't seen since the Jimmy Carter years. So, you know, we have another failed president. Everything Biden has touched, he's made a mess of. Clearly, all of this emanates from killing energy. You know, one of the first things Biden did when he came into office, he canceled the Keystone Pipeline. He canceled the leases for drilling for oil and natural gas. And guess what? When you do that, we went from being energy independent and actually exporting energy to now he's begging Venezuela, Iran, Russia, we just cut off, but he's begging OPEC. OPEC won't even return. The Saudis won't even return his phone call. You know, they're basically giving him I hate to say it, but the middle finger. They won't even talk to Joe Biden because one of the first things he did with a couple of those Arab countries when he came into office, he stopped selling arms to them. And they need arms because they're dealing with the rebels in Yemen and this and that. And they live in a very hostile neighborhood with Iran across the way. And Biden stopped selling arms to them. Well, obviously, now that he needs them, they're nowhere to be found. So Biden has gone in and he's taken oil out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which isn't going to do a hell of good. You know, it's not enough oil to matter. And so he stopped drilling in Alaska. He stopped drilling on other sites. We should be completely energy independent, folks. But Biden and the Socialist Party, a.k.a. Democrats, is out to destroy the carbon energy industry. And who's paying the price? The American citizen is paying the price. The poor in this country are paying the price. We'll be back with more after this quick break.
Are you caring for an older person or a loved one who needs assistance? Paragon Home Resources can help you maintain their independent living for as long as possible anywhere in the United States. We offer property management services to deal with all facets of maintaining the current home. We can also assist with obtaining a reverse mortgage to free up home equity to pay for home care and other needs. And should your loved one require assisted living or a move in with a family member, we can handle the details of selling the home for the best possible price. Paragon Home Resources can assist with helping you sort belongings to determine which will be kept and those that require an estate sale or donation to charity. Your Paragon Home Resources coordinator will be accessible through a convenient toll-free number. As part of our service, you'll get a needs assessment to determine the services that are necessary. Caring for a loved one doesn't have to be stressful. Call Paragon Home Resources to learn more. 1-800-959-7270 or visit us at ParagonHomeResources.com.
Now, back to CEO Business Mind, the radio show for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito with the second segment of my show today. You know, one of the things we're seeing with the war in Ukraine apparently is the breadbasket of Europe. They are the second largest producer of wheat in the United States. And as a result of the war, the wheat is not being exported. And as a result of that, we're seeing food shortages around the world because wheat is, you know, like bread. I mean, you can't make bread without wheat. You can't have flour without wheat. And a lot of foods are made from flour, for God's sakes, or flour is added to a lot of foods. And so we're seeing what happens. We know what happens when the supply chain, you know, is disrupted. Heck, when COVID hit, we were all out trying to score toilet paper. Now we're just trying to score some infant formula. My wife is out scouring the city of Reno to buy infant formula so we can send it to our kids in Dallas. So here we have now a wheat shortage because Ukraine, the second largest producer of wheat in the world, who knew? Well, I always knew that they were a very big agricultural state. I didn't know that they were the second largest producer of wheat in the world. I assume we are the first largest producer of wheat in the world. But the point is, there ain't enough wheat to go around because Ukrainian wheat is not being shipped around the world. Well, guess what, folks? The Chinese, who are very, very, very strategic and smart, and I don't fault them for this, by the way, they are buying farmland all over the world, including in the United States. Now, think about it, folks. There are more than 1 billion people living in China. And the Chinese know that the quickest way to a revolution, to basically overthrow the communist government in China so that people can gain freedom, but that's a whole nother story, is hunger. If their people are hungry, if their people don't have stomachs that are full, the chances are very good that they will rise up and they will overthrow the communist government in China, which frankly, 80% or so of the people in China, maybe 70%, are still incredibly poor, have nothing. 30% are solidly middle class and upper class. They're doing fine. But there's a good percentage of Chinese people that are basically just getting by, if that. And for them, it's just about having enough food to eat. Well, the Chinese are very smart. They're buying up land all over the world, wherever they can find productive land. Now, keep in mind, folks, again, the Chinese think long term. They're not short-term thinkers like we are in the United States. They think long-term. And so they're basically realizing that if, in fact, there is climate change, which, oh, by the way, it is their carbon pollution that's causing, okay, in terms of the emissions that are going into the air, they're the biggest polluter in the world, much, much, much worse than the United States. We've solved a lot of our pollution problems. But anyways, so they're polluting the atmosphere. And presumably they're causing climate change, and they're anticipating that, you know, they may not be able to feed their own people in China, and it certainly could happen. And so they're buying up land all over the world because their presumption is that if they're producing food all over the world, that they will export that food to China. Well, that's hunky-dory. That's wonderful. Well, what if there are food shortages? And what if it turns out that we have food shortages in the United States? Do we really want that food going to China at this point? If we can't feed our own people, if we ever got to the point where we didn't have enough food, right now we're a net exporter of food. We export food all over the world, which gets me to better, faster, cheaper. We need to produce more food. We have to increase crop yields. You know, we got to produce more food, not only to feed our people, but to feed people all over the world. There's only one little problem with all of this. The price of diesel fuel has gone through the roof. The price of fertilizer has gone through the roof. And so it's becoming harder and harder because of Joe Biden's stupid policies in terms of energy for our farmers to be as productive as they could be. So in the meantime, China keeps buying up this land, because they're anticipating the day when there will be food shortages and when they will have to export food from around the world to their own country. They're seeing it. You know, we still have a huge trade deficit with China. We buy way more from China than they buy from us, and that means there's jobs there producing those items, and those jobs came from the United States to start with. And so Trump put tariffs on to try to level the playing field. But Biden is slowly but surely taking those tariffs off. And so what we're going to see is more jobs going to China. Now, it is true, you know, that when you have tariffs, sometimes it raises the price of goods, not always, but at least then it brings more jobs back to the United States. Well, with China buying farmlands, what they're really doing is recognizing that there could be famine, there could be food shortages. And folks, I have to tell you, I'm an America First guy in all things. And so the reality is I want to help the whole world if we can, but we got to feed our people first. And then if there's food left over that we can export, wonderful. And it should go to the countries that need it most. You know, presumably the poor countries in Africa, in South America, in Asia, wherever they are. And so at the end of the day, you know, I look at this and I look at how smart the Chinese are. You know, years and years ago, and I don't know whatever happened, you know, when we thought the Japanese were going to take over the whole world, they were buying land in the desert between Las Vegas and Los Angeles. And they were buying thousands of acres of land in that, there's about 100-mile stretch that's nothing but desert. And in fact, if you get on that highway, you can't get off for about 100 miles. And they've had, you know, serious traffic, jams there. You get a bad accident, it shuts down the whole highway. But anyway, the Japanese were buying that land and they were banking it because they were assuming that eventually And it could very well happen, I guess, over time, that there was going to be literally one solid city from Las Vegas to Los Angeles. It's about, oh, I don't know, maybe a 250 to 300 mile drive, basically. And there's at least 100, 150 miles of it that's nothing but desert. There's nothing out there. And they made the assumption that there would be high-speed trains, which, of course, in Japan, they're very used to, that would link Las Vegas to Los Angeles, and that could very well happen eventually, and that, therefore, development would occur all along the route, basically, of the train going from Las Vegas to Los Angeles. And they may very well be right. They were looking out 100 years. Now, that was when Japan was going to take over the world. I don't know if they still own that land out there or whether it's been sold. Much of the Japanese holdings in the United States were sold when things were not so good. But anyhow, China's buying up land in the United States. And so the question is, should we be allowing that? And the answer is maybe not. Because at the end of the day, we want that food production to remain in the United States, or at least we'll want to control the food production in the United States, because certainly we'll want to feed our people first before we go exporting food around the world. Now, of course, if the socialists are in office, the Democrats, you know, they'll feed the rest of the world first. You know, Biden, they were stockpiling infant formula to give to illegal aliens, the thousands of them crossing our borders, when we don't have infant formula in our stores to feed babies who live in this country, who are American citizens and others, but we don't have formula at this point on our shelves, and the Biden administration was stockpiling formula so that they made sure they had enough for the illegal alien babies that are coming across our border by the thousands. And so somehow there's something, you know, I don't want to deny any baby food, that's for sure. But it seems like we have a little bit of a misplaced priority where we're stockpiling infant formula for illegal aliens crossing our border by the thousands. And we don't have infant formula in our stores to feed the babies who already live here, whether they be American citizens or not. And so, you know, I look at this and I think, what in the heck are we doing? In the meantime, China, it seems to me, is pretty smart. They're buying land. They see the future. They know there are going to be food shortages going forward. They know there could be worldwide hunger. And they want to make sure that their people, anyways, are going to have full bellies, because they know that if they've got a billion people that are hungry, that's a recipe for revolution. And the one thing the Chinese communists are scared of is being overthrown by their own people, because they know that if those people are not fed, the notion that they're not free isn't going to be wonderful for the Chinese communist government. And so they're doing everything they can to make sure that they have energy to support their country. They keep building coal-fired plants, by the way, that emit, you know, carbon, pollution. So they don't seem to care about any of that. Everybody wants us to cut back on everything, including the Democrats, who really are killing us as it relates to energy in our country. Folks, green energy cannot power this country. And I'm telling you right now, in terms of the technology, I'm telling everybody out there, you better buy a natural gas generator to power your own home, because we are going to have blackouts in our country in various states, particularly in California. They're even saying in Texas, we've come to rely on green energy, you know, because we want to be clean. I get it. I get all of it. But the problem is, it cannot power a modern economy. This is a problem, folks. Stick around. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Are you planning to move? Paragon Home Resources can help you sell or buy a home anywhere in the United States. We provide a home resources coordinator to manage all aspects of your move. We recommend qualified real estate agents and other services to prepare your home for sale. Best of all, if you sell or buy a home with our assistance, you could be eligible to receive a tax-free real estate commission cash reward. We can also help you obtain a mortgage at competitive interest rates. Our lenders offer fixed and adjustable rates, conforming and non-conforming loans, plus FHA and VA financing. We can also assist first-time buyers with as little as 5% down. And when it comes time to move, we can refer you to qualified movers or other companies to assist with self-moves. Paragon Home Resources helps make moving as easy as possible. Call Paragon Home Resources to learn more. 1-800-959-7270 or visit us at paragonhomeresources.com.
Whether you're thinking of starting a business or just moving up the corporate ladder, this is the place for practical advice. CEO Business Mind with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito with CEO Business Mind. If you need to get to me, it's really easy. Just go to CEOBusinessMind.com, look for the box that says subscribe, type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions, and if you do that, you can take a look at my blog postings going back several years. You can see some of the businesses that we're in. You can check out some of the jobs we might have open. Right now, we're looking for a director of business development, someone with great sales experience in relocation, real estate, mortgage, or household goods, particularly, can be anywhere in the country except New York, New Jersey, or California. Those are employment practice no-go zones. Good salary, commission, benefits, the whole deal. If you have some experience selling, just get me a resume, and who knows, you may end up working for me. If you're interested in my political ramblings, and they are ramblings, just go to nationalfreedomforum.com, and there you'll find my daily post on the politics of the day. And again, same process, look for the box that says subscribe, type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions, and then you'll get my political blog post every day. If you're interested in one of our growing businesses, Paragon Home Resources, just go to paragonhomeresources.com, look for the line that says blog, click on it, fill in your information, same process. You can take a look at my home-related blog postings. And by the way, if you need to move, we can help you sell your home. We can help you buy a home. We provide cash back rewards if you work through us. We can move your household goods at a discount. We can get you a mortgage. We can deal with estate sales if you have a lot of stuff you need to get rid of that's valuable. And or if you have a loved one who needs to move into a senior community, we do senior placements. We can help you work through the issues and the details to choose the best senior community wherever it is you live, anywhere in the country. Let's see, what else? If you've missed any of my shows and you can't live without my pearls of wisdom, just go to TalkZone.com and all of my podcasts are hung there. You can catch up on any shows you may have missed. So, in this third segment of our show today, I want to talk about Joe Biden destroying charter schools. Now, some of you may not be familiar with the fact that there are public and there are private charter schools. Public charter schools, for example, in Nevada, if parents want to get together and start a public charter school to escape the public schools in Nevada, which, by the way, are terrible, they can petition the state. And this is a way, in essence, for the money to follow the kid. So the money ends up being sent to the charter school. The charter school is run by its own board. It's not run by the local board of education. That board hires their principal, their teachers. Typically, charter schools do not have teacher unions in them. Charter schools pretty much control their curriculum. So a lot of the crap that's happening in public schools, the critical race theory, Marxist, racist, revisionist, fake history, the emphasis on the radical LGBTQIA agenda, doesn't happen in charter schools. And so it's just quality education. That's all they care about. Teaching kids to read, teaching kids to do math, teaching kids science, social studies, whatever it might be, focused on education. Well, charter schools, particularly in the United States, many of them are attended by minority kids, poor black and brown kids whose parents want their kids out of public schools, regular public schools, but they obviously, they're poor. They can't afford to send them to private schools. So those kids end up in charter schools very often. And there are hundreds of them all over the country. Well, Joe Biden and Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona have issued regulations, new regulations, that are designed to destroy charter schools. Why are they doing it, you might ask? Well, the answer is very simple. Teacher unions oppose charter schools because they can't control them, folks. I have to tell you, teacher unions have done so much damage to public education. And it's the reason why half the kids in our country cannot read or do math at grade level. Inner city kids are way below grade level because the reforms that would be necessary to actually improve the quality of education in our country and academic achievement, things like metrics to measure teacher performance, things like merit pay so that good teachers can be paid more, things like elimination of tenure so that bad teachers can more easily be fired, all of the reforms that are needed are opposed by teacher unions. And the teacher unions own the socialist, aka Democrat Party. And so as a result, we see no improvement. I know here in Reno, Nevada, I have been pushing our woke school board and our incompetent superintendent to form a quality education task force to basically explore the reforms that would be needed to improve the dismal reading and math scores in the Washoe School District. And of course, Nevada's 49th in the country in terms of academic achievement. And that's primarily because Washoe, which is the Reno area, and Las Vegas, which is Clark County, and those are the two main school districts in the state that probably have 80% of our kids, maybe 70%, I don't know exactly, but it's in that range. They won't do anything to improve the quality of education because their woke school boards are owned by the teacher unions lock, stock, and barrel. And this is true across the country in many school districts. This is the reason parents are rising up. This is the reason Miguel Cardona worked with the National School Boards Association to designate parents as domestic terrorists who went to school board meetings protesting against all this BS, simply asking for school boards to do their jobs, to actually educate and not indoctrinate. And so this is what's happening in our public schools. So now they're out to destroy the charter schools that, by the way, typically achieve much higher academic results and achievement. They have higher test scores. The kids do better in these schools. They have more discipline in these schools. And so the teacher unions don't control them. The parents control them. And so naturally, Miguel Cardona, the Secretary of Education, who was a school superintendent, I might add, I think he came out of Connecticut, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe Massachusetts, I think it was Connecticut, and Joe Biden, they're out to destroy charter schools. Now, here's the irony, folks. Most blacks in this country, probably 90%, vote for Democrats, and probably 50% of Hispanics vote for Democrats. The question is, why? Why the hell do they do it when they will not allow these kids, these black and brown kids, to get a quality education? This is insane. And so the good news is more and more blacks and Hispanics are starting to get it. They're starting to vote for Republicans who support school choice, who support charter schools, who wouldn't be there destroying these charter schools that are there to help these poor kids most. Because let's face it, rich kids, their parents can put their kids anywhere. They're already in private schools. They're not in the public schools. They're the 10% of the kids in our country that go to private schools. But 90% of the kids in our country go to public schools. And I have to tell you, the teacher unions, they're like slave masters on the plantation, attempting to keep these kids there for their own personal benefit. And what everybody needs to understand, folks, public schools used to be, when I went to public school, and I went from third grade on, my degrees were from Cal State, I went to really good public schools, and I got a quality education, not indoctrination. I got a quality, what I would call liberal arts classic education. And obviously, I could read and write at a very young age. I was a book reader at a very young age. You know, I have writing skills. I have, you know, my teachers taught me something. That's all I can say. I got a great education in public schools. Many kids today are not getting a great education in public schools. And that's why school choice and charter schools are so necessary, because the teacher unions, the woke school boards, the incompetent superintendents that exist all over this country are doing nothing to protect the interest of students, parents, and taxpayers. In fact, just the opposite. What they are doing is criminal malpractice. In some cases, it's child abuse, folks. If you're indoctrinating children with left-wing ideology, you're not educating them. You're indoctrinating them. You know, when I got my teaching credential many years ago, we were told and taught to teach critical thinking skills. The goal was to teach kids how to think, not what to think. And so whatever my personal ideology may have been, which in the beginning was very liberal when I was young, and eventually after the fiasco of the Jimmy Carter presidency became Ronald Reagan conservative, I didn't express my ideology when I was teaching. I put controversial issues on the table. I presented both sides of the issue, and then the kids were supposed to decide what their opinions were, not based on my opinion, but based on their critical thinking. That was considered great teaching, folks. We don't have it today. Time for a break. We'll have more CEO Business Mind in a moment.
Are you caring for an older person or a loved one who needs assistance? Paragon Home Resources can help you maintain their independent living for as long as possible anywhere in the United States. We offer property management services to deal with all facets of maintaining the current home. We can also assist with obtaining a reverse mortgage to free up home equity to pay for home care and other needs. And should your loved one require assisted living or a move in with a family member, we can handle the details of selling the home for the best possible price. Paragon Home Resources can assist with helping you sort belongings to determine which will be kept and those that require an estate sale or donation to charity. Your Paragon Home Resources coordinator will be accessible through a convenient toll-free number. As part of our service, you'll get a needs assessment to determine the services that are necessary. Caring for a loved one doesn't have to be stressful. Call Paragon Home Resources to learn more. 1-800-959-7270 or visit us at ParagonHomeResources.com.
Harnessing the entrepreneurial spirit of America. This is CEO Business Mind with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito with CEO Business Mind for the fourth and final segment of my show today. And obviously, I want to talk about the border, because what we have going on at the border is a mess. And we've got an invasion at our border, folks. Instead of securing our border, which Trump did, instead of finishing the wall, which absolutely needs to be done, there's another 250 miles that needs to be built. Instead of stopping illegal aliens and keeping them in Mexico from crossing our border, Biden, from the first day he became president, and his Secretary of Homeland Security, who's an incredible clown, Alejandro Mayorkas, remember that name. He is an incompetent buffoon. Liar, I might add, too. Buffoon. And so we have currently about 200,000 illegal aliens that we know of entering our country every month, and not to mention all the illegal drugs that are coming into our country that are resulting in thousands of deaths in the United States. Fentanyl is such a powerful drug that it takes almost nothing to kill you. And so it isn't just the terrorists that are coming across the border, and there are many. It isn't just the illegal aliens that are coming across the border invading our country. It's the cartels and the drug lords and the murderous drug substances that are entering our country. And Secretary of Homeland Insecurity, not security, insecurity, Alejandro Mayorkas is saying, come on in, folks. Come on in. And so instead of investing money in securing the border, what Alejandro Mayorkas is doing is investing money in processing illegal aliens more quickly so that they can get them on airplanes in the middle of the night and ship them off to cities all over the United States. And so we're not securing the border. We're encouraging illegal aliens to come into our country. We're encouraging this invasion. You know, the Russians invaded Ukraine. Okay, fine, it's terrible, and what they've done is really horrible. Okay, but what's happening at our border is almost as bad. The illegal aliens coming into our country will cost the American taxpayer probably about $300 billion a year, folks. They're in our public schools. They're in our hospitals. They're in our criminal justice system. They're committing crimes in some cases. Not all of them. Please don't misunderstand me. Not all of these people are criminals. Well, they're criminals to the extent that they've crossed our border illegally, but they're not murderers and rapists, not the majority of them, that's for sure. A small percentage would be, but nevertheless, there is a percentage. But the reality is they are costing American taxpayers billions and billions and billions of dollars in government services and social services and schooling and everything else across the country. They end up somehow in our welfare system, depending on the state. In California, you get everything free. They're getting everything free at the expense of the taxpayer. So I support legal immigration. I want all the doctors we can get. I want all the teachers we can get. I want all the computer nerds we can get. I want all the engineers, all the scientists. You know, I want all of the folks that have skills that we need in our country. I want to give them a green card, and I want to give them a path to citizenship. And specific to people that we might need to work farmland, I want a guest worker program so that ultimately we can allow those people into the United States too. But we cannot have a system where 200,000, a couple of 2 million or 3 million people a year enter our country illegally. And these are not people that necessarily have marketable job skills. Many of them are poor immigrants. And I get it, folks. My grandparents came here with nothing. The difference is that when my grandparents came here legally in the early 1900s, there was no welfare. You worked or you starved. And so they weren't a burden on society. If anything, they worked. They were laborers. They built the railroad that crossed the United States in the 1860s. The Irish, the Italians, and on the other side, the Chinese built the Continental Railroad. You know, obviously these were immigrants that came into our country. My grandparents owned a grocery store. My grandfather started with a horse and buggy selling fruit door to door, and eventually had a fruit truck, and eventually had a grocery store. Worked his butt off, never was on government assistance of any kind. In fact, nobody in my family that I know of has ever been on welfare. It was considered shameful years ago to be on welfare or food stamps. They just wouldn't do it. If they were starving, they wouldn't do it. They would work 10 jobs if they had to, not to be on welfare and food stamps. Today, it doesn't seem to be any big deal, but we have to stop the invasion at our border. We cannot have 2 or 3 million people coming across the border every year, as has happened since Joe Biden was elected. Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who, by the way, his family was from Cuba, and I assume they came here legally. I don't know that, but I assume they did. They might have been boat people, for all I know. I really don't know, to be honest. I assume they came to the United States legally. But the point is, he's opening the door. He's saying, come on in. You know, we're going to make it easier for you. We're going to process you quicker. We're going to hire a bunch of people so that we can smooth the process for you. And let's face it, folks, everybody who comes into the United States knows they have to say, I'm here for asylum. I'm seeking asylum. Okay. And Alejandro Mayorkas says, oh, wonderful. You're seeking asylum, aren't you? You didn't say specifically, but you are seeking asylum, aren't you? Because if the person simply says, I'm seeking asylum, well, how does an unaccompanied minor who's a child even know what asylum is? So supposedly, because most of them are coming, not all of them, because they're coming from all over the world, but most of them are coming from El Salvador, from Honduras, and from Guatemala. I'm sure those are poor countries, and I'm sure there's crime in those countries. But hell, if they're going to Chicago, not any worse than the crime we have in Chicago. Probably not worse than the crime we have in New York City or Detroit or San Francisco or Los Angeles or any blue mayor city in this country. The crime rates are pretty high. So to argue that they're coming from someplace with crime and that they're threatened and they need asylum and they end up in some ghetto or barrio in the United States as though there isn't crime here is sort of ridiculous. And then they're being trafficked. Many of these young people and women especially are being, and even young boys, but they're being trafficked by the cartels. They're drug runners. They're being forced into prostitution. They're being forced to work for very little money to cover their passage, so to speak. And I have to tell you, folks, and I'm a Catholic, it kills me that the Catholic Church is involved in this human trafficking, in a sense, because they, Catholic Charities, basically are supporting these caravans, are getting these people up through Mexico. They're using the churches as way stations. And I have to believe, I don't know this, but it's only common sense, that the cartels are paying the Catholic churches along the way to feed these people. Where are they getting this money? Where is the money coming from to feed these thousands of people that are coming across our border? And so in some sense, the Catholic Church, Catholic Charities, is complicit. And I'm a Catholic. Is complicit in human trafficking. What are they doing? The Pope doesn't believe in borders. We have a communist Pope, Francis. He doesn't believe in borders. And so at the end of the day, the church is working with the cartels to bring these people into the United States because they're getting billions of dollars. The government is paying Catholic Charities billions of dollars to care for these people. And let's face it, folks, whose bread you eat, whose song you sing. And so the Catholic Church is saying, bring them in. You know, we're going to take care of the poor. Folks, my wife and I give a lot of money to poor people. We do a lot of charitable work. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I know we can't have 2 million people coming across our border or more a year, as has happened since Joe Biden became president. We need orderly immigration. We need legal immigration. We need to have people with marketable job skills coming into our country all day. I'll give them a green card tomorrow. I'll give them a 5-year path to citizenship. If they come here, bring me a good carpenter. Bring me a good plumber. Bring me a good electrician. Bring me somebody who can do something with his hands or with his brain, and we'll give him a green card. I'm not anti-immigration. My grandparents were immigrants. They came here with nothing. Then they built a life for them and their families. They worked their butts off. So bring the legal immigrants in. Absolutely. Let's have a legal process that brings in skilled workers. But the notion of bringing in unskilled workers, unless they're going to end up working in the farms or something, some of them do, but not all of them. Most of them end up in the cities. And at that point, they become a burden on society. We can't be the welfare system of the world. We are broke. We're $30 trillion in debt and no end in sight, growing every day. It has to stop. Well, we're out of time for this week, folks, but I hope you'll join me again next week for more CEO Business Mind.
Are you planning to move? Paragon Home Resources can help you sell or buy a home anywhere in the United States. We provide a home resources coordinator to manage all aspects of your move. We recommend qualified real estate agents and other services to prepare your home for sale. Best of all, if you sell or buy a home with our assistance, you could be eligible to receive a tax-free real estate commission cash reward. We can also help you obtain a mortgage at competitive interest rates. Our lenders offer fixed and adjustable rates, conforming and non-conforming loans, plus FHA and VA financing. We can also assist first-time buyers with as little as 5% down. And when it comes time to move, we can refer you to qualified movers or other companies to assist with self-moves. Paragon Home Resources helps make moving as easy as possible. Call Paragon Home Resources to learn more. 1-800-959-7270 or visit us at ParagonHomeResources.com.